Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Good morning, it's Friday, the 5th of August. Welcome to this edition of Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, there are just hours to go before the opening ceremony for the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. Making sporting history this time round, the first ever refugee team.
But we are going to try our best as the refugee team to show the world that we as refugees, we can do everything as a human being can do. Because this is the hope for us and for the million of refugees.
In South Africa, the ruling ANC is heading for a drubbing at local elections, putting in its worst electoral performance in more than 20 years. And in neighbouring Zimbabwe, we take a look at the crackdown on protest and dissent.
It doesn't solve anything for people to be repressed, to be arrested, to be beaten up, or to disappear when they raise their voices.
Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
At the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games in Rio later today, it won't just be the teams from the participating nations that will go marching past. 10 refugee athletes will also march by as one team behind the white Olympic flag. The team consists of swimmers from Syria, runners from South Sudan and Ethiopia, and judoka from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, one of the South Sudanese runners is Yechpour Bil, and he's been talking to DW's Joshua Weber about his expectations at this tournament.
Yeah, actually, it means a lot to us as the refugee, because this is the first time for the refugee to participate in the Olympic, and I hope it will change the million of refugees who have lost their life, because most of them, they lose hope in life.
Okay, and how are your chances here in Rio?
I cannot tell now, because we are competing with champions. But we are going to try our best as the refugee team to show the world that we as refugees, we can do everything as a human being can do. Because this is the hope for us and for the million of refugees.
How often did you tell already your story, have to explain your story, where you're coming from to people?
Yeah, actually, I tell the people because we left South Sudan because of war. And I came to a fight when I left my parents, both of them. And then I never know where they are. Since I left 2005 up to this far, we never met. But I hope where they are fine. And I'm happy to be under UNHCR protection because of them, I cannot be alive. I appreciate everything and I hope we shall meet in God willing.
Do you compete for them, for your family as well?
Yeah, actually, that is give me a hope in my life because I hope one day, one time, when I get one person from that family, he need my support. Because now I am in Kenya and I must do something which can help my family and other refugees, my fellow refugees.
How should your story go on after these Olympics?
Yeah, actually, after Olympic, I want to continue with my training. And then the second one, I must go to school because I have finished my Form 4 and I want to go to university. Because to change this situation in refugee, we must have something in our mind to change there. The last mental thinking to have another thinking capacity where we can think about our life, to change our life, to be a better person in life, because we lose hope and we feel ashamed when somebody calls us to be a refugee.
Some people are saying it's just a PR action what the IOC does with the refugee team. What does you repeat to them?
Yeah, actually, this is a good opinion from the IOC president, because it showed the world that we human beings, we are the same, whereby we need to have something to show the world, and we are happy for the decision that he gave us, and we are going to do something.
Yechpour Bil, a member of the Refugee Olympic team. And staying with the Games, Africa Link's Wanji Kumara has been asking sports fans here at Deutsche Welle what they think of the African athletes taking part in the tournament.
I am in the Hausa department and I'm hanging out with Ahmed Salisu, who is going to tell me what his expectations are for the Rio 2016 Olympics.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think this time around I would be watching out for any country. You know, there are a lot of refugees that have been cleared to participate. These are the individuals I think I would be watching out for. The story I heard, these guys would be attached to one or two countries so that at the end of it, if they have any medal or whatever, they will fly that flag of that country they have been attached to, but then they own the medal. I would really watch out for that and see how things unfold.
I am still hanging out in the Hausa department at the Deutsche Welle Africa department. And this time I am joined with Latifa Mustafa Jaafa from Nigeria. And she will share with us what her expectations are in the Rio 2016 Olympic Games.
Actually, my expectation goes straight away to football, I can say, like a football club of Nigeria, even though I can see that they are in a group which they are going to face Japan, Sweden and Colombia. But I'm hoping that they will qualify even to the finals or quarterfinals, if not finals. Athletes, if you look at it, it's just like it is going straight away to Kenyan, to Ethiopian, and it's just like I'm not thinking that Nigerian will earn a medal, gold medal, but at least silver or bronze, maybe.
So now I'm at the French for Africa department, and I'm joined by
Fiacre Ndayiragije.
And he comes from Burundi. He's going to tell us what his expectations are for the Rio 2016 Olympic Games.
About the African participants, I wish for them the success, especially about football and about our athletes, especially from Kenya. I wish for them success. Yeah.
And now from the Swahili department is
Sylvia Mwehozi.
And she will be telling us her expectations of the African teams that are represented in the Rio 2016 Olympic Games.
Yes, I have much expectation on some athletes from South Africa. I think I'll be enjoying this game.
And I'm also joined by someone from Ethiopia. What's your name, sir?
Shate. I'm not kind of a sports fan. I expect something from the Ethiopians. Kenzabi Dibaba is there. She belongs to the Dibaba family, you know. Trunesh is her older sister. So for sure, we will have a couple of medals in Rio, yeah.
And now I am joined by...
I'm Davis Van Opdorp, and I'm part of the English Sports Department.
Who are you watching out for in the Rio 2016 this year?
This guy, Wade Van Niekerk, he's from South Africa. He is really fast. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to do.
And other than track and field, what other sport will you be watching this year?
Swimming, obviously, is a big one because Michael Phelps is one of the best Olympians of all time. But obviously, he's going to be facing a lot of competition, too, from a South African, Chad Laclosse.
Sports fans here at Deutsche Welle looking ahead to the opening of the Rio Olympics later today.
Follow the changes sweeping across Africa. For analysis and in-depth reports, tune in to Deutsche Welle's Africa Link every morning, Monday to Friday.
At local elections in South Africa, the ruling African National Congress, the ANC, is heading for its worst electoral performance since it came to power more than 20 years ago. Provisional results show that nationally, the ANC is still in the lead with 54% of the vote, but that is way down from the 62% it garnered in local elections 5 years ago. There have been strong gains for the opposition in urban areas, as Subri Govender reports.
The ruling African National Congress, or ANC, has failed to notch up majorities in almost all metropolitan cities, including Johannesburg, Tshwane or Pretoria, and Ekurhuleni in the economic hub of the Gauteng province, and Nelson Mandela Bay or Port Elizabeth in the Eastern Cape province. It's tipped to win the majority of municipalities in the country, but the ANC's overall performance has been dismal. The main opposition, Democratic Alliance, or DA, is leading in all the metros. The Economic Freedom Fighters, or EFF, led by Julius Malema, is expected to play kingmaker in all of these metros. So far, there isn't an outright majority winner in all the major cities except Cape Town. Political analyst Dr. Hans Insman says neither the ANC nor the DA will be able to control the metros on their own.
Tshwane, Johannesburg and Nelson Mandela, where we're going to have coalitions because there's none of the parties with a clear majority.
The ANC's failure to obtain outright majorities in these metros is blamed on people's anger over what local political analysts brand as the ANC's arrogance in the past 5 years. Ibrahim Fakir is a political analyst in Johannesburg.
I think the message has been there. The hubris, the arrogance, the dismissiveness with which the ANC has kind of often met some of the criticism that has been laid out at them has always proven to be counterproductive.
The ANC has announced that it is prepared to enter into coalitions to govern in Johannesburg, Tshwane and Nelson Mandela Bay. Paul Mashatile is the ANC's leader in the Johannesburg region.
The issue of coalition is a reality in politics. Obviously, we have had situations where we have worked with other parties, if you recall, the government of national unity. So for now, we're hoping that the work that we've done will take us through over the 50s.
In Cape Town, the ANC also failed to make any inroads into the city's Metro Council. This is seen as a severe setback for President Jacob Zuma and his cohorts. In Zuma's own province of KwaZulu-Natal, the ANC is tipped to retain the Durban Metro. But this too will be at a much lower percentage victory because many of its own members chose to contest the elections as independent candidates. The ANC lost in Zuma's rural town of Inkandla to the Inkatha Freedom Party, which used to be the ruling party in the KwaZulu-Bantustan prior to the dawn of democracy in 1994. The final and full results will be announced on Saturday.
So, Brigabender reporting from South Africa.
Human rights.
And for human rights this week, we go to Zimbabwe, where there has been an increase in recent months in arbitrary arrests and in the prosecution of critics of President Robert Mugabe. Zimbabweans have been voicing their frustration over poor governance and a dilapidated economy. Security agencies have responded with an excessive use of force, often deploying tear gas and water cannon against demonstrators. From Harare, DW's Privilege Mushaniri reports.
Mbuya Nehanda, Buritsaivana Mwajeri, meaning spirit medium, Mbuya Nehanda, free imprisoned children. That spirit figure, Nehanda, was the first anti-colonial resistance leader. These are female liberation warfighters wailing in emotion. They had received news that the state had opposed bail to one of their senior leaders. These war veterans who, for the past 36 years since Zimbabwe's independence, have been supporting long-time ruler President Robert Mugabe, are now caught up in the dragnet of citizen arbitrary arrest. According to the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, more than 1,000 of them have been arrested in the last 6 months after sporadic protests erupted across the country. State security agencies have been blamed for responding brutally to peaceful protests resulting in clashes. Zimbabwe Human Rights Association Director Okay Machisa says the government is ignoring issues and responding harshly.
It doesn't solve anything for people to be repressed, to be arrested, to be beaten up or to disappear when they raise their voices. I'm sure the state is also realizing that the elasticity band of the people's patience have come to a maximum.
Addressing his supporters in the capital, Harare, last week, President Mugabe warned of arrest of all voices calling him to fix the economy or give up if he has failed.
If these small little parties want to protest in anger, the police force is ours. See to it that they are arrested and lock them up in prison so they taste prison food.
Criticizing the president can be criminal under Zimbabwe's two laws, the Public Order Security Act or Criminal and Codification Act. Various rights activists and ordinary citizens have been charged with subversion and insult, but the cases often crumble, spectacularly as the laws in use are in violation of the constitution. Rights activist Patson Dzamara, who has been arrested and beaten up on several occasions, is unyielding.
I have been tortured. I have sustained even permanent injuries at the hands of this regime. And so what that did and what that does is it actually gives me more strength and more reason to fight for a better Zimbabwe, actually.
It remains to be seen if Zimbabwean leaders will cease to bury their heads in the sand and ignore issues raised by citizens. The country's constitution guarantees freedom of expression and assembly, but it is a different issue in practice.
Privilege Mushaniri in Harare. You're listening to Africa Link, coming to you from Deutsche Welle in Bonn, Germany. To Nigeria now, where Abubakar Shekau insists he is still the leader of Boko Haram. He rejected a successor announced some hours earlier by the Islamic State group, thereby exposing the biggest rift yet among Nigeria's deadly Islamist insurgents. On Wednesday, Islamic State announced that Abu Musab al-Banawi was the new leader of its West Africa province. Isaac Mugabe has been talking to DW's Muhammad al-Amin, and he started by asking him what people in northeastern Nigeria thought about the power struggle inside Boko Haram.
An ordinary Nigerian, more especially people in northeastern Nigeria, believe that what Shekau did, that is dissociating himself from the new leadership announced by IS, is clearly what they are expecting. Before, a rumor has been going on that Boko Haram are fighting between themselves, trying to take over the leadership of the group. So this is a clear indication that it is a serious crack between the leadership, and people are somehow happy about it. I talked to one political analyst, Umar Shehu by name. This is what he understands by what is going on between the two warring parties.
I think this is a serious setback for the strength and operation of Boko Haram, which earlier claimed allegiance with the IS that is operating within the Middle East. I think this is this should serve as a loose end for the Nigerian intelligence to really cash on this possibly a leadership crisis that came to a head. So I think this is a golden opportunity for the Nigerian intelligence to really cash on this perceived leadership crisis.
We know that northern Nigeria is predominantly Muslim. Are the people there more worried now than before about possible Boko Haram attacks, even though the new Boko Haram leader, al-Banawi, promised not to attack mosques and markets again?
I don't think if there is any changes in the minds of ordinary person here in northern Nigeria, because they don't trust these people. Nobody will agree with any person in the group, no matter how soft he is trying to be. People believe that he is just a killer, and nobody is going to trust him. Nigerians believe now Boko Haram is about to die, as they are thinking, because what is apparently showing is they don't attack anymore, they don't capture places as they are doing it before. So ordinary Nigerians believe that it's not a threat.
The new leader has threatened to bomb churches and kill Christians. Has the federal government given assurances to the people in northeastern Nigeria that it would protect them from any possible attacks from the militants?
There is no official statement from the government up to now that I'm talking to you. But the Defense Headquarters spokesperson, Brigadier General Abel Bukar, said the military was not interested in what is happening, in what he described as nearly dead Boko Haram terrorists, including the changes of the leadership with the allegiance and or alliance with the IS. What he's saying, military is singularly focused on completing destruction of the terror group, irrespective of the leadership, administration and changes.
Muhammad al-Amin in northern Nigeria talking to Isaac Mugabe. And you can find more on that story on our website dw.com/Africa.
Your C.
T Time now to hear what you, the listener, have to say about the stories we've been covering this week, both for radio and online. Fred Mavuni and Sela Onyeko are here with this week's Your Say.
Let's start this segment in Brazil, where Olympic Games have kicked off and many Africans, including RFG team, will be competing for medals.
Yes, and Yolanda Mabika is in Rio as part of that refugee team. But for her, there's far more at stake than the Olympic gold. She wants to actually find her family.
One of DW Facebook followers, Francine Yvette Mandeville, says, "I will pray that she finds her family and reunites with them soon. Also hope she does very well for herself."
Yes, and Lucas Lino added, "All the very best to the refugee team. As fellow refugees, we're all there supporting you."
Another current topic that has generated reactions is about the local government elections in South Africa that we have extensively covered.
Isaac Ehosa Godwin wrote and said that Zuma's regime has gotten a lot of criticism. There are far too many opposition parties in South Africa, and that makes his rule an uneasy task.
Our listener comrade Usman Bin Affan from northeastern Nigeria thinks the issue of corruption will play a multiple role at the voters' side. But how, Sela?
Well, Bin Affan says that the results of this election will definitely show whether people are still with the government or not. Remember, these are comments from our listeners and readers, and they've been edited to conform to DW's editorial standard. So, what else do we have, Fred?
We reported on the 15th anniversary of Biafra War in Nigeria. On July 29, 1966, Northern Nigerian troops led a counter-coup against the Igbo-dominated junta in the former capital, Lagos. Its consequences are felt to this day.
And on this, Isaac Ehosa Godwin commented, "Biafra still wants their freedom, even with the current state of the Nigerian economy."
And Sadiq Ahmed has another perspective. Actually, he says Nigeria will remain one as it has always been. The Almighty God will not allow any person or group of persons to split our great nation.
Okay then, Fred. So anything interesting apart from politics to end the week on a more positive note?
Yeah, of course, yes. Let's go Pokemon.
Tell me about that.
Well, the Pokemon Go game has had tangles waging all over the world and has hit Nigeria's capital, Lagos, by storm.
And yes, and I see here that James Wesonga commented on the topic and said, "Well, I don't think Africans have the time to play those time-wasting games. We're so good without it."
Finally, we thank Chief Raphael Fonju for his detailed letter he sent to Africa Inc. We have received your message.
And that's all that we have time for this week. Until next week. Bye-bye now.
Sela and Fred, thank you very much indeed. And if you would like to comment on the stories we cover, then please send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49 160 957 59510. And Your Say will of course return at the same time next week. Before we leave you here on Africa Link, a reminder of our main stories. A refugee team, including athletes from Ethiopia, South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo, is poised to take part in the Olympic Games opening later today in Brazil. At local elections in South Africa, the ruling African National Congress is heading for its worst electoral performance since it came to power more than 20 years ago. And we've also been hearing how the regime of President Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe is cracking down on its critics. And there we come to the end of another week here on Africa Link. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, do send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com. Jane Ayeko will be here on Monday. Do join her if you can. Have a pleasant weekend. Until the next time, this is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.